Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, as you know, and I know you're hanging around with me right now because you heard that Tamar Jacoby was going to be on. I don't blame you. I do that too. Tamar is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. She writes extensively on the immigration issue, citizenship, ethnicity, and race. She's the editor of the outstanding book, Reinventing the Melting Pot, The New Immigrants and What It Means to be American. And she's our good friend. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Tamar, when you've been on the show in the last year or so, the immigration, there have been many times that immigration was the hot topic of the day, where we thought we were going to get an immigration bill. There was the debate about, you know, a very hot and heavy debate about how many illegals we have and the impact that they're having on the economy for good and for ill. We were talking about building a wall, and I think maybe that still actually is happening. But lately, in the last, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 months at least, immigration has been kind of a back burner issue in the national debate, hasn't it?
It has. Well, Congress failed to pass a bill. So, you know, people pay attention when Congress is trying to do something, when we're trying to make policy. When they failed, everybody just said, I don't want to hear about that anymore. The problem isn't going away. Congress didn't solve it.
So we're on a boat. We're on a boat and it's going down, and because we've got a leak and we need to fix the sump pump. To get the water out, and so we go down and we get all excited about fixing this pump, but we decide we can't fix the pump, and so we just kind of forget about it, right?
Yeah, exactly, beautiful metaphor. That sums it up.
We just sort of say, well, we can't fix the pump, so let's just don't talk about it anymore. We're still going down though.
Exactly.
Tomorrow.
Exactly, and the problem is, as every small, you know, many small business owners know more than anyone else, is we need these workers to keep our businesses going and to keep the economy growing, but our quotas are so low that about a third of them have to come illegally. They don't come to be unemployed. They come to do work, and the fact that they are here, far from taking jobs from Americans, allows businesses to stay open and growing and keep their native-born, their more skilled native-born employees on the rolls as well.
Well, you know, there's another stat that I've been talking about and that I've gotten from more than one economist in my brain trust, and that is that, and this number may be conservative because I've heard higher numbers. I'm going to use the low number that I've been told by our economists, and that is that in 2007, there may be as many as 2 million unfilled jobs in America.
Wow.
And these are qualified jobs. These aren't burger flipping jobs. You know, although I'm sure there may be probably plenty of those, and maybe the higher numbers that I've heard. And by the way, folks, no disrespect to burger flippers. Tomorrow, I used to be one of those guys, but you know, in another life. But my point is that most of the 2 million jobs I'm talking about are people who, you know, need to have some skills, and they're going wanting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
With that kind of demand, I mean, what else are you going to get when people can come across the border, and because when someone is sort of qualified, they're going to figure out a way to get more qualified and take one of those higher paying jobs. When they have no qualifications, they're going to fill in those jobs that were just vacated.
Well, exactly right. And they also, I mean, what I've learned as a student of immigration is that jobs get created. You can only create a job if there's somebody there to do it. People don't. If you have a small business, you don't grow unless there are people there to do the work. And immigrants have provided that fuel for the economy for coming up on three decades now. The body's there that can do the work, and then businesses grow because that fuel is there.
Right.
And if we start to, what we're doing now, because Congress didn't pass the legislation, is we're trying, and let's admit, the government wasn't as tough and vigorous as it might have been in the past in enforcing the quotas. Everybody knew they were too low, and they were kind of nudge, wink, wink quotas. We knew they were too low, and we didn't enforce them very vigorously. Now we're in the situation where the government is trying to enforce them, and it's going to
happen. Have we ever had good border security in the history of this country?
Well, we never tried particularly.
Well, that's my point. I mean, if we didn't try, we didn't have it.
Until 1924, we didn't even have limits. And then we didn't have limits on people from the Southern Hemisphere until 1965.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Tamar. Tamar Jacoby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot. She's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute and a very smart person, as you can tell. She and I will be right back. 22.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Welcome back. It's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. Thanks for staying with us. We're having a great visit with our good friend Tamar Jacoby, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the editor of the outstanding book on immigration called Reinventing the Melting Pot. Tamar, you were in favor of there was a lot of acrimony, a lot of name-calling, a lot of controversy over the bill, the immigration bill. The opponents of it called it amnesty bill. The proponents of it called it, made a lot of sense, obviously. But you were one of the proponents of it, weren't you?
I was. I didn't think it was a perfect bill, but I think it's critical for the country that we recognize our need for these workers and we allow them, create a system where they can come legally rather than illegally. They're going to come here. No government regulation is going to be able to best the vitality of the American economy, but it would be a lot better if the regulations were more in line with our labor needs and we could get this labor force legally, better for them, better for us, better for employers, better for American workers, better for everybody all up and down the line. Right now, the only person that the unrealistic laws, the only people that the unrealistic laws are benefiting are the smugglers and the foragers.
Well, exactly, and that's the reason why. And I really listen to you a lot because I don't have time to get into the weeds. I know that, and that's what you do. You love that stuff, and I'm grateful that you spend time sharing your ideas with us. But so I relied a lot on you for my opinion on that, and I have to say there was a lot about what I knew about the bill that I didn't like. But if it was a first step, and we've been going backwards, and this was a little baby step forward, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I think immigration is one of those issues. Unlike some government issues that the federal government passes, immigration is the kind of thing that we could evolve into over time. More than others. What do you think about that?
We have it. We live with it. And the problem is we make it illegal. I mean, the best analogy really is prohibition. It exists. It's real. I mean, it's like globalization. People say, I'm for globalization. I'm against globalization. That's like saying I'm for the sunrise or against the sunrise.
Right.
It's happening. And the question is, how do we adapt to it? And how do we get the most we can out of it rather than being run over by it, and that's what we're not doing with immigration. It's happening. It's driving the economy. Let's recognize that and deal with it so that we make the most of the benefits and minimize the costs. And no, the bill wasn't perfect. I mean, it was far from perfect, but it was a lot better than the mess we've got now.
Is there? Are we building a wall? Have I heard that there is actually a wall up somewhere along the border?
They are building a wall. Well, there've been stretches of fence for quite a long time, and we are building more of it. It's not. You know, we do need some fencing in some places. I mean, you know, places in cities where there used to be a lot of petty crime, and in places where the smugglers, you know, there's a lot of vehicle traffic. It's not stupid to have fencing. What's stupid is to try to build basically sea-to-sea fence or, you know, long 100-mile stretches of fence. But we're working on it.
Right.
I think we've got about 70 miles of it up now out of, you know, 2,000. It costs, you know, in the billions. It's going to cost in the billions to build it. Mm-hmm. It costs many millions per mile. But we're working away at it. I mean, I think we're much more effective to do it fencing in some areas, but mostly using technology, sensors and that sort of thing.
Right. The virtual fence makes a lot more sense to me. Tamar, what about small business owners? What kind of jeopardy are small business owners in if they are found maybe accidentally to have hired an illegal immigrant?
Well, today is a big day. There's going to be a court ruling in San Francisco that's going to decide whether new regulations from the Department of Homeland Security go into effect. And if those regulations do go into effect, business owners are going to be in much more serious trouble. Right now, business owners look at the documents that workers offer them when they want to get hired, and as long as they look at them and write down the numbers, basically fill out the I-9 form, they're basically safe. What the new regulations are going to say is, if you get a letter that says that documentation isn't valid, if you don't fire that person, you're liable. You have what the law is calling constructive knowledge, and you can be fined much more significant fines than we're fining you now. So business owners who hire immigrants are waiting with really bated breath to see what the San Francisco court does today.
And that's the ninth district out there. That's in the land of fruits and nuts out in San Francisco.
Exactly.
So who knows? I got to be honest with you. I wish I had a better feeling about who's going to decide this than the Ninth District.
Well, I mean, it could work for business owners in this sense, because they could decide to hold off on it. At the moment, it's under a restraining order, and they could decide to perpetuate that. So this, I mean, in the long run, we've got to get control of this. You know, that's the paradox of it. I don't like being in a position of saying I don't want the government to enforce the law. You know, I believe in law enforcement, but we're in a situation where the law is so bad that I'm in a position of feeling ambivalent about law enforcement. So, you know, the judge today may decide not to enforce the law. Now, is that good or bad? Well, only in the crazy, you know, land of mirrors where we live is that possibly a good thing.
Well said. Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen. She and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Until I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show, lots of different ways, including the ability to podcast it. And the second one is our knowledge base. Askjim.biz is where you can go get answers to your small business questions and get them now. So check that out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get to our websites, then we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and help you to be a little more successful. That's our plan. Tamar Jacoby is with us. Tamar, I want to talk about... Tamar, by the way, folks, is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, the editor of the book, the outstanding book on immigration, Reinventing the Melting Pot. Tamar, where's the book available, please?
The Manhattan Institute website, www.manhattan-institute.org, probably Amazon, regular bookstores.
Yep. Check it out. Jacoby, J-O-C... J-A-C-O-B-Y, by the way, Tamar, T-A-M-A-R. Tamar, I want to talk about politics in a second, but presidential politics in a second. But what would be your advice to small business owners right now? If you were a small business owner out there in flyover America and you had people, you know, you're a contractor or you know, you're hiring people, you don't necessarily need, well, you know, even if you're hiring skilled labor, you still got to check those I-9s, don't you?
Yes, you do.
What's your advice? If you were a small business owner, what would you be paying attention to right now? To keep
yourself
out of trouble.
It's about to get very, very difficult for construction and for agriculture. People that are heavily relying heavily on immigrant labor are extremely worried, and I don't have good advice. I mean, that's the problem. The government, if this judge rules the wrong way today, the government is going to come down on that kind of employer like a ton of bricks, and there's not much they can do, and except fire their good workers and hire people who don't know what they're doing. And you're starting to hear people doing that preemptively, and they're seeing their productivity plummet.
But tomorrow, if all of a sudden I could blink my eyes like Dorothy, click my heels. You know, and I do have my little red heels on today. If I could click those and make all the 12 million illegals transport them back to wherever they came from, this economy would be in big trouble, wouldn't it?
No, exactly, and the Social Security Nomad rules, if they go into effect, I don't think they are. I think this judge is going to rule to stay them. But when they go into effect, if we don't make our quotas more realistic, it's going to be devastating for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's either going to choke those businesses, or maybe even worse, it's going to drive that activity further underground. It's going to reward the guy who doesn't even bother to look at the Social Security cards and pays the people $3 an hour and doesn't, you know, is totally off there in the secondary labor market,
right,
undermining the people who are trying to play by the rules.
Tamar, let's change horses just a little bit and talk about presidential politics. We've got a campaign heating up, and we know who the Republicans are. We know who the Democrats are going to be, and we're going to pick one from that group on each side. Who's going to have the upper hand, you think, at least in the near future, on the immigration issue? Do you think it's going to be the Republicans or the Democrats?
I fear that the main thing I'm afraid of is what's going to happen before the general, is what's going to happen kind of in the primary, and then at the congressional level, I think there's going to be a lot of demagoguing the issue. We saw it in 2006.
No, they would never do that, Tamar. They would never. Politicians would never demagogue.
Politicians, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's going to get ugly, I'm afraid. And you know, I don't think it's good politics. You know,
I was going to say, is it going to get so ugly that the American people are going to get turned off by it?
Well, that's the fear. I mean, and that's certainly the direction they headed in 2006. And we saw Romney and Giuliani flirt with it a little. Thank goodness they backed off. But they had a little patch where they were, you know, racing to the bottom. They've moved on to other issues for the time being. But I can't believe we're not going to see more of this. And, you know, the problem is these are politicians bidding for the votes of what's actually a small, very angry minority. But the trouble is they bid for those people, and they managed to inflame, you know, a lot of the people who are in the middle and not sure what they think. So
when you think of the, and I've only got about 30 seconds, regardless of if a Democrat or a ask you this question this way, who's going to be better for immigration, do you think, in terms of real policy?
It's going to take a bipartisan, we can't do this without a bipartisan agreement. Going to need Republicans to bring along that side of the country, and it's going to need Democrats too. And the danger is going to be in a Democratic controlled government.
What a politician she is, folks! Is it? No, I'm just teasing you, Tamar. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always nice to be teased by you. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen. She's the best, and she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.